Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 22nd day of April 2025. And tonight I have my very, very capable young scholarly co-host and board up, none other than Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, Pastor, how are you?
We're ready to go. You ready to go? We got a good Bible study tonight.
Let's do it.
Okay. Title of it was Because Our Awesome God Lives. Because He Lives. As the song says, we can face tomorrow. And we're going to start picking up where we left off in the 28th chapter of Matthew. Matthew chapter 28. And we start with verse 1. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. The end of the Sabbath, that means after the Sabbath. It means after the Sabbath, what he's referring to. And he says, here the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Well, you know, the day began at 6 p.m. on Saturday night, the first day of the week began. So by this time, by the time the sun was coming up, it was well into the first day of the week. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, I'm going to say something here in style and see if you pick up on this. Okay. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. Okay, does that ring a bell or tell you anything there?
I'm not sure.
Well, if we go over to Daniel chapter 7 and read verse 9, it's talking about the Lord of the ages, okay? In other words, God. And guess what it says? It tells you that his countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And if we go and we take a look in, well, when the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds in the fields when they were out with their sheep, guess what you had there? You had Shekinah glory. You had this countenance, this light, this glory. And so here, whenever it's referred to the angel of the Lord, the angel, not an angel, but the angel of the Lord, it's referring to a Christophany, isn't it? And so you say, well, how could this possibly be here? Well, Jesus is omnipresent, like he was with the shepherds in the field. He was announcing his own birth. And you say, how could that happen? I don't know how that could happen. That's way beyond. God's ways are so much higher than our ways. I don't know how God created the universe. But God says, makes it very clear that he has no limitations on what he can do. Okay? He can do everything that he sets forth to do. And so here now it says, and his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. Now the keepers here were the guards. And he goes on to say, When they took a look upon him, do you remember when Zacharias was at the Holy of Holies and Gabriel, the archangel, appeared in there with him? It startled him, right? But it didn't frighten him so bad he was paralyzed. And here, to look upon Shekinah glory, the keepers were frightened to where they were paralyzed. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel said unto them, unto the woman, fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. Now, when Jesus appeared in the plains of Mamre to Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, he appeared as an ordinary man. Okay? This, again, is a Christophany. Okay, but he appeared to as the Lord. And now here, what you're seeing is again, he rolled away the stone, not to get out, but he rolled away the stone to show you he wasn't in there. Do you think that stone could keep him in?
No.
The sepulcher? No, he could walk right through it, couldn't he?
Right.
And so here now, we see, for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto them, fear you not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified, for he is not here. Now, he's talking about the crucified Lord there in that capacity. For he is risen, and he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And so go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he go forth before you unto Galilee. There shall you see him, and lo, I have told you. So they would recognize Jesus even in his glorified body, but they wouldn't recognize him in a Christophany with Shekinah glory. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre in fear and great joy, and did run and bring his word, his disciples' word. You actually had three Marys together going to the tomb. And as they went to tell the disciples, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid to go and tell my brethren. And they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. And so now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Okay. Why do you think the guards went into the city to the chief priests? Because, see here, that stone was rolled away. That means Caesar's seal was broken. The stone was sealed. Remember, Caesar said, Pilate said in verse 55, Pilate said to them, well, let me go back. Let me go back to verse 63, because this is very interesting, Stone. It seems like the Pharisees had more faith in the Lord Jesus rising than his own disciples. He told his own disciples about his death, burial, and resurrection, and they didn't believe him until he raised himself from the dead. But verse 63, when they came to Pilate, here the Pharisees saying, Sir, we remember that the deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command there, therefore the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. And they went and they made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting the watch. So again, the point was, when Caesar's seal was upon that, the law was that the only one that could break that seal would be Caesar himself. And if anybody else broke that seal unlawfully, then they'd have to forfeit their life. And if Caesar couldn't take their life, then Caesar would cease to be Caesar. That was the mindset there, okay? Because Caesar was supposed to be all-powerful. So what do you think the message was when the Lord Jesus broke the seal and rolled away the stone?
Was that there is only one King of Kings, right?
That's it. You got it. He showed Caesar who the real Lord of Lords was and the real King of Kings. And so here now, so when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Now these soldiers, do you know what the penalty was for a soldier that fell asleep on guard duty and if a prisoner escaped?
What's that?
They would be wrapped in all, every bit of clothes that they owned. And most of them didn't have that many clothes, the soldiers. They didn't have wardrobes, but... And then they would be doused in kerosene and set on fire. That was one of the punishments for... It was a real severe punishment for falling asleep on guard duty. And then they were assembled. The elders had taken counsel and gave them large money. Now, those soldiers didn't make a lot of money, and they knew that they were in big trouble. But they also knew if they did end up dead, at least their families would have the money. Saying, see ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Now these guys, normally they would say, are you got to be kidding me? That would be an admission of guilt.
Right.
Right? And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. In other words, they will bribe the governor, too. Now, do you think possibly it was known that they were all on the take?
I don't think that's very unlikely.
Yeah. And so, kind of like our government today, huh?
Right.
Yeah. And if it comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this, the saying was commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And so here we see that right up until today, you will hear that from a number of Jews. They will tell you that they came and they stole his body away. But what was the problem? Why didn't that really float? Because what, after he was resurrected, how many people saw him?
Now, multiple people saw him.
500 at one time, huh?
Right.
And so, and I mean, and when he arose, he was there for 40 days before he ascended to be with the Father, right?
Right.
Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain, where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then came Jesus and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Now, here you have three different accounts you have here of the resurrection. And so how do you justify that? Actually, there's four different. You have all four different Gospels have a different account of the resurrection, written from one's own knowledge or perspective. So how can you be sure that the nothing contradicts itself here, because they seem to have all these different accounts. In one place there's one angel, another place there's two angels, okay? So what do you think?
Well, that's what an eyewitness is, right? We get four different eyewitnesses. You're going to have four different stories. It's going to be the same story, but they might leave out or include different details.
That's why prosecutors love eyewitnesses, huh?
Absolutely.
Because if the prosecutors can get a... They'll get four different, or, you know, people see things from a different angle and a different perspective, right?
Absolutely. Wouldn't it be more of a red flag if they all said the same thing, word for word?
Aha! Now, that's right. If they had been colluding, they would do like they do on NBC, ABC, and CBS, where they open the echo chamber. All the talking heads say the same thing, right?
Right.
But now... Now there, you've got four different perspectives that they're seeing what happened from a different angle, or they simply, some things may have meant more to them than the others, okay? Other things, so here, now they may appear superficially to be somewhat contradictory, but in their very differences, you're right, prove the absence of collusion. You're absolutely right. So here, I want to jump over now to Luke chapter 24. And Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 13. And behold, now this was here after he was risen. All this stuff took place, and now you have Cleopas, this fellow Cleopas, and his wife Mary. And by the way, they knew Jesus very well. And we read, starting in verse 13, and behold, two of them that same day that went that same day to the village called Emmaus, which from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. Now, a furlong is about 200 yards. And here, Cleopas and his wife, that's where they lived. They lived in Emmaus, okay? And they talked together of all these things which happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now, see, they knew him very well. But he had this ability. Remember when he first preached and they were looking for a cliff to throw him over? And he walked right through the crowd. He made himself to where they couldn't recognize him. Okay? And here now, and as it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And That word holding is the word we use for restrain. In other words, they couldn't recognize him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which have come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in the word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been him, that he should have redeemed Israel. In other words, so they referred to him as a prophet, but here they're telling them that they recognized him as the Messiah, that we thought he would be the one that redeemed Israel. What do you think they meant by that?
I'm not sure.
Well, they meant that they would be given into the glory, getting into the millennial kingdom, that Jesus was going to redeem him. He was going to overthrow the Romans, and he was going to be their ruler there. And they said, and so we trusted that it had been, he should be redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Now remember when Jesus told Mary Magdalene, and what was the thing that was kind of special about Mary Magdalene with her relationship with the Lord Jesus? He had cast out seven demons out of her. And so now, and certain of them that were with us went up to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now, at his cross, I'm going to jump over here to John 19 in verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, that was Jesus' aunt, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Okay, so you had three Marys at one time standing there at the foot of the cross. Now, one of these, Mary Magdalene, as she went, she ran into two others. And here now, in that time, Mary was a very common name in that time. And for a fact, it's said that there were times when you would actually have two sisters with the same name, Mary. And, you know, if you think that's odd, remember George Foreman?
Yeah, didn't he have all of his sons were named George?
Yeah, I thought it was four, but one of the fellows at the church told me it was eight, that he had eight sons all named George. That had to be...
That might get a bit confusing.
Yeah. But you know what? Right about here is where I probably should stop, because I pick it up. This is the very, very important part of this, verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered all these things and enter into glory? But that's a very, very big, important part of this message. So I'm going to stop right here and pick it up right there, Lord's willing, tomorrow. And so with that, let's go to the break.
I had this crazy dream. about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. When the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way out. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more flack. And we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. No,
we're not going to take it anymore. Some of us haven't been taking it up to now. Some of us have been really standing up, pushing back, and because we know that we're to run to this battle. We're not second-class citizens. We're not, no, sir. We are heirs of the kingdom. That's right. Now, tomorrow night from 7 to 8 p.m. every Wednesday at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, it's Doers of the Word Baptist Church, they have the class, the Bible and current events, and they're talking about this. They've been really showing you some really good videos on tribulation rising. A lot of things are happening, and you'd be amazed. A lot of people don't see the signs are all around them, but the vast majority of people are totally oblivious. So from 7 to 8 p.m. tomorrow night, every Wednesday, and it's the Tribulation Rising, and then the address is 14781. That's Doers of the Word Baptist Church, 14781 Sperry Road in Newberry, Ohio. And so, let me see. It's right at the corner of Route 87 in Newberry. And then Friday night, that's tomorrow night, and then Friday night, Taking America Back One County at a Time. Do you think that there are too many criminals not enough public servants in our government? Do you think that criminals need consequences and servants need supervision? Do you think somebody should do something about it? If the answer is yes, join us to learn more about the Lawful, Peaceful, Permanent Solutions Introduction to Tactical Civics Seminar. And that's Friday at 7 p.m. at Ransom Sage Farm at 505 Center Street in Chardon. And then the big day coming up Saturday. Oh, boy. Saturday, this is the big, big chili cook-off. And, you know, I'm not sure. I think it's about the 20th annual chili cook-off. But anyhow, folks, it's going to be held at the Metzenbaum Center, 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland. And here, I got to tell you, this is going to, I let them talk me into entering in again. Now, I got to tell you, I've won 14 first place in these Northeast Ohio chili cook-offs over the years. Now, I gotta tell you this. This is my last one. I'm going to stand behind my pot. I'm not going to let them talk me into, because it's a lot of work. I'm going to tell you, cooking all that chili is a lot of work. I cooked usually two big pots, I got to tell you. So I'm going to stand behind my pot, and that's the pan, not the other pot. And it'll be my last one, but don't worry about voting for me. If you're out there, you're going to come and say, well, you know, I'm just going to vote for whoever I like, but don't worry about not voting for me. I'll get over it, you know. I've been doing this for a long time, working hard. And so vote for the best chili. And don't worry about the poor old pastor. I'll get this. Right, Style?
Right. I voted by mail, so mine should be coming early.
All right. Listen, admission tickets, ages 12 and older, $15. Married couples, $25. Ages 6 to 12, $7, and 6 and under, free. There's going to be chili and salads and desserts, and there's going to be chili to take home, $4 a pint and $8 a quart. And so here's the best part about the whole thing. All of the money raised... Oh, and we got to raise a lot. All the money raised goes right to saving babies. That's what we do. We save babies over the years. We've saved a lot of them. And it's because the cause is a righteous cause. And America's national sin is killing its children. And this nation stands right now in the shadow of a holy and just God. And I got to tell you, God must punish sin. And boy, I'm going to tell you, the sewers have run red from coast to coast. I can honestly say, folks, I've done everything I can within, I think, my power to try to stop the killing of the unborn. And every single person out there that professes to be a Christian should be able to say the same thing. There's no greater sin out there than the killing of the innocent children, killing God's innocent children. It's got to be stopped. Well, we know God's going to put a stop to it, but I can tell you there's a special hot place in hell, especially for those abortionists out there. All righty. You got a lot of articles and things to get to. The Democrats out there today, I mean, they're really going... Have you noticed a Trump derangement syndrome getting greater? It seems like it's on the rise. Have you noticed that, Style?
Ah, man, I'm telling you, people are just getting dumber and dumber, lacking more common sense.
I mean, they're coming out. The screamers are out. They could care less. The Democrats could care less about all of these young girls that have been raped and murdered. They could care less about elderly people. Okay, especially... we have one that's still... We have a Tina Peters out there in Colorado. She is in prison out there in Colorado, sentenced to 9 years for exposing election fraud. for exposing election fraud. We're going to be talking about that a little later. But here, even, you know, even setting people on fire in the subways and places, the Democrats don't care about that. Everything, if it's wrong, what do they care about? They want to bring back every single gang member, every rapist, every pedophile, every murderer, every thief. The Democrats want to bring every single one of them back here to the United States. All of those. In other words, if it's illegal, if it's unlawful, they want it. That, you know, that's what they want to wrap their head around. So, switching over there from MAHA. Do you know what MAHA means?
That's Make America Healthy Again.
That's right. They're going after all the synthetic dyes out there. I didn't realize how many, like 1,100?
Oh, more than that.
Unbelievable. And did you know that those, a lot of those could be replaced with blueberries and strawberries? Actual things, the coloring used, real natural coloring. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, it's sickening how much we rely on artificial dyes. And I'll say this, you know, we're one of very few nations that still allow certain dyes, especially when it comes to red dye. Red dye 30 and 40 are two of the worst things chemically that you can put in your body. And it's in most of our food. That, like, anything you see red candy, even, you know, cereals, things like that are artificially flavored and colored with this red dye 40 and 30.
So I'm going to stop eating red things, huh?
Well, at least Alrighty. Up until the next couple years here, when this law goes through, I think 2027 is the year when companies have to officially get rid of their stock of foods that contain these dyes.
I didn't know. I know that Kennedy said he's cracking down, that it's happening now, okay, that they just made it illegal. And you know what? A lot of those dyes and things are made from petroleum, from oil. And so,
yeah, it's things that should never be near a human body nor inside of it. And the last I checked, and obviously this just went through today, when it was propositioned, I know the initial statement was something along the lines of medications and things like that have until 2028, and general foods have until 2027 to use up their stock or find alternatives to produce with instead of these dyes. It might be inverted. It might be medicine for 27 and food for 28, but that was the initial proposition. So assuming that is the one that passed today, you know, that is what we can look forward to.
Alrighty. Colorado had been warned, it's been warned by the federal government, that children do not belong to the government. And this transgender bill that they're trying to pass, you know, what they want to do is they want to take away parents' rights. They want to say, no, that when that child walks on school property, we belong. The child belongs to us until it leaves the property. That's not what the Word of God says, is it?
I mean, I don't think that's what any logical thinking person should think. That's insane.
Well, that's what the school boards are out there right today. Especially Colorado is a very, very liberal state. And, you know, you can't be a Democrat and be sane today, because it's, you know, if you go by the definition of today's Democrat, you know, they always will embrace whatever is totally the opposite of sanity.
It's not only that, but, like, the fact that, and, you know, it's nothing new, but when it comes to things like this, and we see it a lot with the whole defunding of public education, things like that, but it's such a baseline headline, here's why it's bad, and here's what to believe, and no one on the left seems to look into it anymore like that. I fully understand someone on the left looking at an article that's put out by CNN that says Trump wants to defund schools, and it's bad for the kids, and they don't read any more into that. I can understand the logic of, oh, that's bad. I can't understand the logic of seeing that and not wanting to read further into it, though. And that's the scary part of all this, is because when we talk about cutting funding for schools and education system in America for government-funded schooling, this is the kind of thing that we have an issue with, is things like this where schools are more than overstepping their bounds.
Well, according to that Chikanze Brown or, you know, that so-called Supreme Court justice, the one who doesn't know what a woman is.
Right.
According to her, Christians should not complain about it because what they teach in public schools, they shouldn't complain because they've got the right to homeschool or send their children to a public school. In other words, we want you to keep paying your tax dollars. We still want your tax dollars. But if you don't want, like, what's being taught in the public schools, in the Antichrist DEI stuff, well, then send your kids to a Christian school. But you got to keep paying taxes so that we can pervert the children.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
100%. And I think that's, you know, on both sides of the aisle, unfortunately, I think that's something that the common citizen doesn't know enough about or isn't being informed enough about, unfortunately. You know, I live in a small township right now, and currently, as we speak, they're trying to pass a levy for the school in which it renews the balance they've had for the past 3 years through the grants they get from the state. And my issue with that is we had three levies in November for the school that all failed. We're still getting our taxes raised for the past 3 years exponentially. My personal income tax alone my personal property tax alone has gone up $2,000 in the past 4 years that I've lived in my house and owned my house. That money is supposed to be distributed to the schools per Ohio's board of funds. The lottery in Ohio is supposed to go to funding schools as well. The problem is that it doesn't go to that, and then you have people in the school board on the left that'll turn around and go, well, we're not getting enough money. We need to go back and ask the community. And I've talked to several people in my community recently, this past week and the week prior, and the fact of the matter is I would have no problem. I would have absolutely no problem with levies passing. I would have absolutely no problem with the community funding the school if it wasn't state-funded education. If it wasn't the state minimum education that the state's requiring you to teach, that teachers can't make curriculum, that we don't get a say on what's being indoctrinated to the kids in the schools, that is the bare minimum that Ohio says, hey, this is what a kid needs to pass, and they're more concerned about turnover rate with graduation than actually teaching kids something, I would be perfectly fine. If we did away with that, I'd be perfectly fine with communities funding community schools. But that's not the case. They can't have their cake and eat it, too, of taking our tax dollars, taking grants from the government, and having a state-funded education, and then come turn around and beg to the community that they don't have enough money.
Well, have the teachers' unions made it any secret at all that their concern is not with the students but with the teachers?
Oh, absolutely. I believe we talked about it last week briefly on the air, and it's the fact that, you know, there's the whole situation of teachers say they're underpaid and we need to get paid more, but they don't factor in a 401k or all the days they don't work or vacation days or paid days of training. It's never been about the kids, and that's the unfortunate part is a lot of these things, these levies, these bills, these ballots, all of this smoke and mirrors is phrased as, oh, it's for the kids, it's for the future. You're a bad person if you don't want to help the kids, but it's never been about the kids, it's been about money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're pretty smart for a young fellow, yeah.
Pretty mad, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, here's some good news, though. Did you know that the border crossings are down 99% now?
Praise the Lord.
Okay. Can you believe that? Now, they're down 99%, but remember what Joe Biden said, that he couldn't do it on his own. It had to be an act of Congress. Well, Trump did it in 30 days without an act of Congress, huh?
Right.
Well, there you go. Now, listen, I got to tell you this. Something came and going. This is 2025, isn't it?
Yes.
And you know what's happened in this year? Al Gore's another one of Al Gore's doomsday clocks has expired. We're still here, aren't we?
We are, last I checked.
And we didn't get all the ice didn't melt.
No, I still think there's ice out there.
And we didn't get flooded out then, right?
Nope, not that I can tell.
So Al Gore missed it one more time, didn't he?
I guess that one's going to have to go back in his lockbox, huh?
But here's another fear that Al, because Al Gore was out, he was mad, he was out talking today, and one of his other fears is that his fear-mongering is that he's afraid that the Democrats are going to realize that this, his whole program was a big hoax. It was a big hoax. They've already figured out that he never did invent the internet, like
what?
He said.
What? You're kidding me.
Yeah, well, it came out. I knew. I had a feeling. But it is true that he was seen hugging trees. And, you know, those people are strange. I'm hoping, you know, that, you know, didn't go any farther than that, okay? I mean, you know, what can I say? And so they're doing everything in their power today, the Democrats, to, well, obstruct President Trump's policies. Because finally somebody came along and actually did the things that needed to be done. And, you know, this stuns a lot. And the Republicans are like, some of them like, gee, you can really do these things, right?
Right.
And so, you know, they're, you know, they become just absolutely, you know, totally obsessed with obstructing President Trump's policies, anything that's working. And but something else is happening within the collective, too. Do you know what that is?
What's that?
They're fighting amongst themselves.
Oh, yeah, they have no idea what they're doing anymore.
Well, I don't know that they ever did.
That's a fair point.
yeah, but here's something else. The Patriots are getting restless. You know what they're getting restless about?
What's that?
Remember, Pam Bondi told us that right away you're going to, next week, you're going to know everybody that was involved with Epstein's Island.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to know everybody that was involved. Remember how I kept saying, well, what happened? Well, there was supposed to be a number of arrests made, mm-hmm. Okay? But here, they're making a statement, and you have to be listening to what they're saying when they say, the FBI is no longer weaponized. The FBI is no longer weaponized. And they're saying that the Justice Department is no longer weaponized. No longer weaponized. In other words, they're kind of making a statement that we're not going after these people.
Right.
That is, no, you see, what is justice? Is justice, is that when those that have committed the crimes should be brought, those that went after the J6ers the way they did, those that went after Trump the way they did, all of these people, you know, that you know, did these things, should they not be brought to justice?
Oh, they absolutely need to be.
And so people are getting, a lot of the patriots out there are saying, Pam Bondi, where are you? And so from what I understand, that the pillow guy, you know what I'm talking about?
My Pillow.
Yeah, My Pillow fella. He, I guess, was in the White House and in Trump's office, in the Oval Office, and he asked Trump, well, you know, why is Tina Peters still in jail? What are you going to do? And I guess, you know, that's a 70-year-old grandmother who, what did she did? Is she exposed that with an email or a password that allowed them to get into the computers there. And showed you about the corruption and there the election in Colorado.
Right.
And the 70-year-old grandmother, I mean, she was the hero, and she ended up in prison. And when Trump, I guess, looked, from what I was told, that in the White House, when he said that, he looked at Bondi and said, get her out, okay?
Wow.
And, I mean, see, this is justice. This is what we're waiting to see, okay? You know, Trump come in as actually doing the things he said he would do. And you've got these people. Look, how many people do you think Well, we know that over 20 million people have died because over 20 million people have died because of the kill shot, something that was supposed to be a vaccine. And who's behind that? Gain of function, Mr. Fauci.
Absolutely.
This guy is just like in the days, you know, of World War II with Hitler and that. These people need to be brought to justice. I don't know. Now, I'm hoping, Matt, that there's a lot of things going on under the scenes, you know, that they're actually working on, you know, and making sure they have all their ducks in a row and everything. But they'll actually start making some arrests. But,
I'll be honest, and I've been vocal about this since day one, even before President Trump got into the office. That was one of my big concerns with this administration is I hope that's true to the word. And I said it before, I'll say it again. For 9 out of 10 times, they have been. We got the JFK files, the RFK files, and the MLK files released. Now, not to the full extent. Obviously, there's still things redacted, which I don't think is, passable, but we got this far. But this is the big thing that I was weighing on that I'm still skeptical about is the fact that why don't we have these flight logs? Why don't we have these names released? And why isn't justice being atoned? It's ridiculous at this point, and this is my biggest critique of the current administration is, you know, I understand there's a lot going on. There's two wars to deal with. There's all of the Doge situation. There's all of this illegal warfare that's going on, lawfare that's going on. I understand that. But at least to my eyes, this is something that's been going on for the past 8 years now. For 8 years, we've had no justice for children who were trafficked and abused. This is ridiculous.
That's my biggest question, Style, is where are 300,000 children?
Right.
Where are the 300,000 children? And, you know, and that's what people should be asking. The folks out there should be demanding. They want to know. I mean, they really should be beating on their congressmen and their senators' doors, saying, we want to know. Where are the 300,000 children? What happened to them, okay? The only way we're going to get any justice is put, you know, fire to their feet, huh?
Oh, absolutely. And I know there's a lot of people out there who will get very defensive anytime you criticize anything under the current administration. Now, look, I get it, especially after the past 4 years of administration we had. I understand. I voted for Trump the same as you, and I think he's one of our greatest, if not the greatest, presidents we've had. But it's absolutely okay to criticize. It's absolutely okay to ask questions. Because if you don't, and you don't bring these topics up that are important to the nation, important to our safety, moreover, if you don't bring these topics up and ask questions and get to the bottom of it, you're no better than left that are sitting there accepting.
Right. Remember, you know, how Dan Bongino, you know, Dan Bongino, how he was saying, you know, that how he would dismantle the FBI, how he would take it apart and
right.
put it back together, how he would clean the house. Well, he was made, what, assistant director? Or the under, who's the other fellow? Cash?
Cash Patel.
Patel. He too. And so, but what's happening? I mean, we didn't see that taking place. Have you seen this massive firing of FBI agents?
No.
No, I haven't either. And maybe you know, they really, I think, need to hear from us. If we don't, you know, you can't let it slide this time. You can't. And, I mean, you've got to get it. Are you going to have Democrats keep doing it? They're going to keep breaking the laws, okay? We need legitimacy. We need a legitimate government, okay? One that's doing what the people elected it to do.
Right.
And so, anyhow, folks, so that's what you have to do. You've got to speak up. The greasy wheel gets the oil, right? And so we're running up to a break. When we come back from the break, we got a whole lot more. So don't go away. In fact, I think I'm going to open the phone lines and take calls again tonight. This will be two nights in a row. Be right back after this with more. He's counting down again. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.